This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 13, verse 12, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 13, verse 12. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, every Thursday, somewhere between 12 noon and 2 p.m., my twin friend Scott Merson meets me here, and we are here to pray for you, to pray for the sick, to pray deliverance from demons or alcohol. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us words of knowledge. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will sing a prophetic word through me to you. That's Thursdays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Come each Sunday, 5 p.m., for anointed word and prayer. Come each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. for anointed word and prayer. And now we have Judges chapter 13, verse 12, where we left off last time. The children of Israel had again gone astray, so God had allowed the enemy, the mean old Philistines, to come after them, and they were oppressed by the Philistines for 40 years. 40 is the number of probation. So they cried out to God for a deliverer, a judge, to set things in order and fight for them and deliver them from the enemy. So God put his eye on a man named Manoah, and Manoah's wife, Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. They were barren. They wanted a child so badly. They prayed for years. They did not have one. And the angel of the Lord, who is really God incognito. Do you know that Jesus often visits the church? Revelation says that. And he must have to put on his dimmer switch because he's so bright. He's the Father of lights. But anyway, the angel of the Lord came to the woman and said, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be the deliverer. Well, the woman goes and calls her husband Manoah, and Manoah runs over there, and they think that the angel of the Lord is a man of God or a holy prophet. They don't realize it's God. Sometimes God is sitting right beside you, in front of you, or talking to you, and you don't recognize it. And I wonder if he's checking you out. I wonder how you're doing there. Okay? And so last time we left off there, the woman was sitting in the field when the man of God, which is God himself, appeared to her and said, you're going to have a son. Now you need to understand that Jesus says in Matthew 13 that the field is the world. And the woman represents the bride of Christ, men and women, here in the end times. Now, if you know anything about farming, you do not sit in the field. You go in there, and you pick those cucumbers, and you pick the squash, and the cantaloupes, and the tomatoes, and you really work. Yeah. And so the woman is sitting in the field. The church is sitting in the field. No wonder she's barren. There's a famine in the land. Amos 8:11, not of bread of water, but of every word of God. Amen. So the woman needs a good word, the word of God, so that she can produce, give birth to life to this lost and dark world. So there we have it. So the man of God is there. Mr. Manoah comes up to him and says, thank you so much for telling us we're going to have a baby. And so he said, are you the one that told my wife this? They don't know it's God. He's in disguise. And so God says, I am. Remember Moses in the burning bush? I am that I am. I am that I will become. I am what I want to be. And right now I want to be in disguise so you won't know it's God. They couldn't have taken it. So we began right there.
Verse 12, and Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass.
And Mary said, when the angel Gabriel said, thou shalt conceive a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sins. Mary said, be it done unto me according to thy word. So now the woman has the word spoken to her, and only until the word can be spoken in its entirety, in its fullness to the bride, the woman, the church of America, in America, of Jesus Christ, only then can we have the birth of the church completely, completely filled.
How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?
How do you want us to bring up this child, Manoah asked the man of God. Remember, they don't know this is God.
13, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware.
Beware means let her follow my instructions. He had told the woman what to do. Now he's going to give the same instructions to Mr. Manoah so he'll help his wife to obey. Here's what you do.
15, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine.
He's not supposed to even go near a vineyard, because if you walk through a vineyard and these gorgeous grapes are there, or raisins, you're going to pick one. He was not to even eat a grape or a raisin or a delicacy at that time, raisin cakes, and certainly not to drink wine.
Neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing.
Manoah and Mrs. Manoah would have known Leviticus 11, which tells us what is clean to eat and what is unclean. Now, he's not saying this right now to Manoah, but he said, do not ever cut your son's hair. Hair symbolizes the strength. Let it grow. Do not cut it. That was the vow of the Nazarite. Hair symbolizes strength. Paul said, women, when the Antichrist comes, have your head covered. Most people think that means wear a hat or have hair. No, no, no. It means to have the helmet of salvation, be covered with Christ. So the hair is a symbol of strength.
All that I commanded her, let her observe. 15, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, let us, I pray thee, retain thee until we have made ready a kid.
Now Manoah has a very friendly attitude. It has always been in our DNA, those of us who are the seed of Abraham, that when somebody stops by, we're going to cook some food for them. Let's cook you up some food. Why, he did that to Abraham. Three angels of the Lord appeared to Abraham. That was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they let Abraham cook for them. I grew up with my Aunt Selma and Uncle Walker, Abraham, and said they always had something like a cake, a freshly baked cake. And I mean, you didn't have to come at meal time, just come in the middle. Oh, would you like something to drink? How about a piece of my fresh pecan pie? It's friendly, it's hospitable, and there's something about cooking for somebody that shows a pure heart of love. So Manoah says, oh sir, let us, won't you have dinner with us? Let's cook you a nice meal. You've come and told us some good news. We're going to have a baby. God used to tell us good news. Let us cook you a good meal to show our appreciation. Cooking is love.
For thee. 16, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread.
So God, in disguise, says, oh, well, actually, I don't think I want any eat any food now, but I will stay for a while. Meanwhile, a little parenthesis about the cooking. A woman asked her husband, was talking about, the husband asked the wife, can you cook? And the wife said, no. The husband looked at her, and they were just about to just gotten married. And he said, kissing don't last, but cooking do. So God says here, I don't think I want any of your food. But God's going to give him a suggestion.
And if thou art offer a burnt offering.
Now, if you'd like to offer a burnt offering for the good news, but see, they don't know that means to God. They don't know God's there. How many times is God talking to you, and you just turn on the television and go away? Or you go to sleep, or you just go on with your logic. And all the while, God's knocking. I have something to say to you.
Thou must offer it unto the Lord.
So maybe you'd like to offer a burnt offering to the Lord for sending you this good news.
For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord.
That's what I said.
17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may give thee honor?
9 months from now, we're going to have a son, and we're going to want to remember and tell everybody of the wonderful man of God that came and brought us the good news. We want to honor you. What's your name, sir? We don't even know your name.
18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?
Manoah, my name is a secret. I'm here in secret. Jesus said in Matthew 13, I have secrets from before the foundation of the earth. The Bible says, I reveal my secrets to my servants, the prophets. The I am that I am is a part of what God can be. I am whatever I want to be. I'll be a baby in a manger if I want to. I'll be the God of the universe and sit on the throne because that's what I am. I am the living Word. Okay, God says in John, he's the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But a word is not, it's alphabets. Let's just take from A to Z. All right, you can call, come here, letter T, come here, letter R, come here, E, come here, another E. Look, we call forth letters and made a word. We call for the alphabet and made a word. And when I say tree, everybody in the sound of my voice sees a tree. And yet, in the beginning was the Word. The Word makes a sound. The Word was ready to be what he wanted to be. The secret things belong unto the Lord. But he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. 19. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord.
I want to say one more thing about the secret. Jesus says, I come with that, the secret things. Kept secret. That's how he says it in Matthew 13. Kept secret from before the foundation of the earth. The secret of God is in the scrolls. The scroll is what we call the Bible or the Word of God. We have them in a book. The scrolls fly through the air. Zechariah saw them. Ezekiel saw them. John the Revelator saw them. Max Merson sees them. Scott Merson sees them. Sherry Medlock sees them. Sometimes they're blue, sometimes they're white, sometimes they're gold. And there's a tassel there. And when we can get that tassel open to the page, that's the secret that God wants to show us. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the secret is in the air. And God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets.
Amen.
And the angel did wondrously.
Okay, here's the man of God. Mr. Ms. Manoah put the offering. See, that was a good holy thing to do. They knew about giving offerings to the Lord. They don't know the man of God is the Lord. Now he's going to do wondrously. What's he going to do?
And Manoah and his wife looked on. 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar.
First of all, the man, just kind of man of God, just kind of need a metamorphosis, that like from a caterpillar to a butterfly. He goes and eats and accepts that offering. They knew from Leviticus, if God consumed your offering, then God accepted you and was pleased with you. If he did not, you were in trouble. So he consumed it. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. So he took the dimmer off and put back on bright light, and that was the fire, because his head and his hair white as wool, his eyes as a flame as fire, his feet like a defying brass as if they burned in a furnace. God is a consuming fire, and then he moves and merges with the fire, and up goes God.
Amen.
By the way, secret also means in the Hebrew wonderful, Isaiah 9. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But that's not yet his name. His name is Yahweh. His name is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And his name is called the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God, and you can take the alphabet and make any word or anything you want to say there, that's why he can be, I am that I am.
Now Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. 21, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear unto Manoah.
God had completed his mission there. He had done. There was no more famine now. He'd given the word to the woman so she could birth the child. And so everything was okay. The embryo of the deliverer was in the woman there. So God had finished his mission.
And to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord.
And then he knows it's God.
Verse 22. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die.
Because
we have seen God.
Because we've seen God. This is not quite written correct in English. Here's what it is. Manoah knew that the scripture says that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, for you and to move into the spiritual dimension all the time. Now, God gives some of us gifts to, you know, move into that and see into that. And that's a supernatural special gift. But we have to step out of our flesh bodies, what we call dying, to be in that dimension. So what Manoah said, sweetheart, you and I just died. Because we just saw God. You can't see God in the flesh. We're dead, honey.
23. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering.
She probably pinched herself to see she was still in the flesh body. Wait a minute. If he was mad at us, he wouldn't kill us, and he wouldn't have received our offering. And if he was mad at us, he wouldn't tell us he's going to give us a son who's going to have supernatural power to deliver Israel from the Philistines.
And a meat offering at our hand. Neither would he have showed us all these things.
About our son with his long hair.
Nor at this time would have told us such things as these. 24. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson.
Samson means the son of the king, or the king is son. And the Virgin Mary bore a son, and they called his name Jesus. And he grew and waxed. And marvelous ways and words and wisdom and favor with God and man.
And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times.
Now this is a very important statement. The Spirit of the Lord. Here come the camels. Okay, here are things are going to perk up now.
Amen.
Now, this is going to be the first time we have record of the Holy Spirit anointing coming on him with that great supernatural power. Remember when that would come on a judge or a man or woman this day? It's a supernatural dimension you move into. You have supernatural wisdom. You have supernatural strength and courage. And then you have supernatural prophetic words. You speak the word of God with power. So So once in a while that would happen to him. Why is that? Here's why. I know that God has taught me you cannot go to school to be trained in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He must teach you. You have to learn how to turn on a dime and see. You can't say, I guess that was the air conditioner. I guess that was a feather. You have to feel it. There's a little thing in your solar plexus that will nudge at you. He's gotten so that you, at the slightest, you have to be trained, and it doesn't happen all at once. You have to learn, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. And you begin to, oh, you know he spoke. And you get so that it's a rhythm that you're in all the time. And when he'll tell you to turn this way, you'll just turn. He'll take my body and turn me all the way around and tell me to open up the second drawer in my desk because there's something there that we need for God's work. Scott actually witnessed that. This happens, in other words, but it's not overnight. And in other words, it's a process. It would be overwhelming to have all of that at one time. But finally, you begin to swim in it. So all the time, that Holy Spirit, that it's never away. The flood is always there. You have to multitask and be a human at the same time. So he's taking it step by step. So Samson will learn how to operate in the Holy Spirit, because if Samson doesn't learn that, when he gets into trouble fighting the enemy, then he would be in trouble. See, the Holy Spirit, it's not something to be given to someone who just wants a gift. The Holy Spirit is someone God can trust. And it's a jewel, a priceless jewel.
Amen.
In the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Esthaol. Judges chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw woman of the daughters of the Philistine.
Uh-oh. Now, it's nothing wrong in seeing a pretty woman. That's natural. God put it in us, but follow. He's going to be called. He's about 20 years old now, to deliver them from the Philistines who would oppress the Israelites. We're going to find right now that we're going to find a lot of weaknesses in this Samson, but God's going to use the weaknesses for God's good. So we see right now that he has a tendency to look at something he should not. He should not even entertain the thought of liking physically or romantically someone of another race, because God said in Deuteronomy 7 verse 3, do not mix a seed, don't marry the foreigners, keep the seed pure. God loves all the races, but he said not to mix it. So see that weakness in Samson? Okay, keep it in mind.
Verse 2, and he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me.
They obviously spoiled it, didn't they? I want that bauble. Get it for me.
To wife. Verse 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people? For thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines.
They knew Deuteronomy 7:3. God said, do not mix a seed. Don't let your sons marry foreigners. Don't ever mix a seed. God loves all the races, but he said, don't mix a seed. When they mix, they call Mamzars. And then there's a curse that comes down. And so just don't do that. Keep it pure. So they knew that. And so they said, good Lord, son, we got 12 tribes of beautiful Israelite women. Couldn't you have stayed here? No, see, the weakness of him was to go to get something he's not supposed to have. Many people have that weakness. They always think the grass is greener over there, and you don't need that grass.
But Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me.
I gotta have her, Dad. I love her.
Well, verse 4, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, and he sought an occasion against the Philistines.
Okay. This was covert activity by Almighty God. Now, God wouldn't break his own law. He says, do not mix a seed. But he does know the weakness of Samson for Pretty Woman. He understands that Samson has a tendency to go for the no-nos, as we're going to find about the vineyard and everything else. So what God needs is, he needs a war. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. God needs for Samson to antagonize the Philistines and for the Philistines to recognize Samson so they can fight against him, so Samson can use his anointing to defeat the Philistines, who are the enemies of the Israelites, who are God's chosen people. Everybody got it? Covert activity. For the last 8 years, we've been at war with Islamic terrorists, but the previous president would not even say the name. Let's don't make war. Thank God for President Trump, says it's time for war. We're all in the spiritual battle now in the body of Christ. If you don't get up and fight, you're going to be run over. There is a time to fight, and then there's a time not to fight. So God wants a fight so God can deliver his children. So he wants the Philistines to become aware of Samson, the anointed judge here.
For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Verse 5, then went Samson down with his father and his mother to Timrath.
Okay, so obviously Mr. and Mrs. Manoah gave in. I'm telling you, when you got a special child, it's hard not to worship the child. But that's right, God was working this. What they did, they took a dowry and went down, and they were going to have a nice dinner with the parents of the Philistine woman and pay the parents a dowry so that she could be Samson's wife. Samson had to pay the dowry. So they're going to go down there, and they don't get to know the future in-laws. They're not married yet.
And came to the vineyards of Timnath.
Uh-oh. Now, Samson's not even supposed to go near a vineyard. God has said, don't even eat anything that is in the vineyard. Don't even pick a grape or a raisin. Nothing. You're not to go near a vineyard. Don't go after the foreign women. He's going after the foreign women. Don't go near the vineyard. Going after the vineyard. Because what are the chances there's a grape or raisin there, right?
Right.
And behold, a young lion roared against him.
Okay, the word young is incorrect. It means a grown lion. Now, here's what happened. You give the devil an inch, you'll take a mile. Samson opened the door for the devil to attack him because he disobeyed. He had direct orders from God not to even look there. When you watch that thing on your computer or on television, or you sit with those people and you're not there to witness them, and they are living in sin, their demonic forces mingle with you, and then when you go there and you say that, or those thoughts, or you watch that, you, Christian, have opened the door, and all the devil needs is one tiny little inch, and he'll kick it open. Give him an inch, he'll take a mile. So, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, goes around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. So he opened the door by going where he should not. It doesn't mean he ate a grape or a raisin, but he got too close to it. Beware what you see. You open your gates. I mean, you just can't. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. We got to stop watching too much news. Stay up with the news. I do. But it's toxin. It's poison. That is poison coming out through the air. In other words, those demons, most of the people on the news, there's so many demons there. In other words, you are going to have to keep your gates closed from the devil. So Samson has opened the door, so the lion is the devil come to kill him before Samson gets to kill any of the enemy.
verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him.
Oh boy, here come the camels. All right, supernatural prophecy, supernatural courage and strength, and supernatural wisdom.
And he rent him as he would rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand.
He didn't have a knife or sword, just ripped him to pieces. But you, Christian, the enemy comes against you, and you close those gates so the demons cannot come in. I want to tell you about demons. They love to come in Christians. They don't come in and sit with you. They come in and take over, and you are just sitting there helpless, and there you are. The demon takes over your life. So watch your gates, Christian. Watch your gates. Keep them closed.
Amen.
And so he had no weapon in his hand. You, Christian, it looks like you have no weapon. All the gates of hell are coming against you. We fight not with flesh and blood, but with powers of the air, and all these demonic forces that are just loose from the river Euphrates. They're all over the news. The swamp is being drained in Washington because the demons are coming out. They're everywhere. This is the last time they know their time is short. But you have three invisible weapons, and nobody would see it in your hand, by which you can defeat the enemy, just like Samson did. And one is the name of Jesus, and Jesus' name is called the Word of God. So we got Jesus, the living Word. We got the blood of Jesus. Oh, the power of the blood. And we got the power of the Holy Spirit. We got the name, which is the Word. We got the blood, and we got the Spirit. I mean threefold cord, not easily broken. So why are you sitting in the field? Get up and fight and win, Christian.
But he told not his father nor his mother what he had done.
I thought about this verse and prayed about it from personal experience. Supernatural experiences, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, is the most precious thing. That when he touches you, and you know he's touched you, and he's just sitting there loving you and being with you, you can't explain that. Most Christians haven't the foggiest idea what you're talking about. If they kind of like you, they'll smile at you and stare at you about it. Until Scott Merson came along, I never, ever met anyone who ever understood this that I have with God. There's so few people that you do. Don't throw your pearls before swine. Usually, they could laugh, or they'll think you're strange. Christians will think you're strange. I think you're strange because you don't have the Holy Spirit. So don't throw your pearls before swine. And also, Samson is now learning how the Holy Spirit works. Don't you know? He said, wow, I just ripped a lion in two. Lord, thank you. That was powerful how you did that.
Man.
It's kind of like my machine tearing up. And I picked it up and I said, in Jesus' name, work. And it worked.
Amen.
Cool. That's the Holy Spirit.
It is.
Yes. Verse 7. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well.
So he said, will you marry me? She said, yes, because they got a nice dowry.
Verse 8. And after a time he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion.
Obviously, because of the dry atmosphere, the carcass was kind of, it was not so polluted there. So there he goes. Out of the dead lion, there is sweet honey. Did you know that honey is the food of prophets? John the Baptist ate it. Elijah ate it. Yes, it is.
Verse 9, and he took thereof in his hands and went on eating.
Putrefied was the word I was trying to think. The carcass had not putrefied. Now, first of all, that's a no-no. He shouldn't have done that because he took it from a dead.
And came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told Tell them not that he'd taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion.
He's keeping all of these things that are supernaturally happening to about the Holy Spirit. If you don't have someone you can share those things with, keep a journal. That's what I did through the years. I would keep a journal of the amazing experiences and the leadership and the training. See, Holy Spirit trains us. It's overwhelming to swim and live 24 hours a day and be a human being and be living in the Spirit and listening to Him. So you have to be trained how to handle that. That's what he's doing with Samson. At least he's learning to keep quiet about that. That's good.
Verse 10, so his father went down to the woman, and Samson made there a feast.
Okay, what they did, they're engaged now, but they're going to have 7 days of a banquet. They're even going to have a bachelor party. Uh-oh.
For so used to do the young men to do.
They used to do that, and they do that now. Sometimes bachelor parties can get a little bit rowdy, you know that. We'll start right there next time. I hope you were blessed. It's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I would like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It's good to be back. Good to be home.
Good to be back.
It is.
Glad to have you back.
We have our first question tonight. What do you think about a person who teaches a Bible class and then goes home and watches shows like Lucifer and The Walking Dead and all these other shows that they have that are kind of demonic?
I think you better turn off the show. See, that's doing like Samson. That's opening a door. Lucifer, of course, Isaiah 14 is the devil. No, we're not supposed to have anything to do with familiar spirits. And I want to explain something. We love sinners, and we're not snobs. And we only go out to dinner with them to win them to God. But if they don't want that, you have to watch your social life. Because if people are living in sin, they have open doors to demons and that can get into you. You are responsible to living a clean life. And so I would say that he needs to go and read his Bible, and that we're not supposed to have familiar spirits. He's opening the door for the devil, and that actually gives the devil a legal right in God's court to go in and harass
you.
And
that's so true. We have to watch our alignments.
Yes.
And we have to watch those gateways that we open.
Gateways.
And it's so important.
Even
Isaiah said, you know, the strength to those who turn the battle to the gates.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the battle is.
That's what Samson was opening, those gates.
Yeah.
You're right. Be careful about the people with whom you're aligning yourself. It can seem so innocent. And we all love people and we don't snub people. But it's one thing to be with people as an ambassador for Christ. It's another thing to be socializing with them and just trying to act like a whole person. You're not. You're here on purpose.
You're set aside. That's right. Okay, our next question. Is the White House shaking up right now a good thing?
It is a very good thing. Hebrews 12, God says at the end time, God's going to shake everything that can be shaken. What cannot be shaken will remain. Everything else will be shaken. All of the pollution of sin that is in our government, the corruption, is being shaken to the core. And God is using President Trump to do this. It must be very hard on him. We're praying for his strength. It's hard on all of us. But see, every time, it's like a pure quart of white milk here, but what if some mischievous little person in the kitchen put lots of black specks of pepper or little roaches or something in there, and when you shake it up, you can see them. So it's the shaking up has to be to expose all of the lying and the treason and the corruption in Washington, D.C. It's a good thing. Well, you'll notice that what cannot be shaken remains.
Amen. Word.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Let's have now Scott's stuff.
Guard what you know to be holy as holy. Do not make judgments that are out of your boundary of responsibility. Do not engage your mind in areas of which you are not called. Narrow and narrower is the path and the way of my thoughts and my actions at this time.
That is so beautiful. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome, Sherry.
That is so beautiful. If you're not saved, pray this with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Wash them with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them with the blood of Jesus.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me, Lord.
To win some soul to Jesus.
To win some souls to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to leave a message on my voicemail and tell me you were saved. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. You sent your word and healed them. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. You take sickness from the midst of this one. You make their bones strong. Blessed are their eyes, for they see. Blessed are their ears, for they hear. They have the mind of Christ. Their youth is renewed as the eagles. Their strength is renewed as the eagles. They run, they're not weary. They walk, they're not faint. Their feet are like hinds' feet. They run and jump for hours, because they are free. You renew their mind. Their mind is like the mind of Christ, from the top of the head to the soles of feet. Rejuvenating life power into the blood and into the bones and into the stomach area and the backbone, the spine. Renew perfect alignment in the feet and the toes and the back and the mind. In Jesus' mighty name be healed. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Somebody got it there.
Yes, Lord.
And we give God glory. Now, if you were one of those who were healed, feel free to call and tell me that also. It's time now for your love line of the week, from God's heart to my heart to your heart. Time is in your corner. Time is working for you. You say, oh, no, I'm running out of time. Oh, no. God says in Genesis 8:22, seed, time, harvest. In the fullness of time, at the set time, God has a book, an appointment. All of the seeds you have sown will come back to you multiplied. All of the seeds of love, of caring, of feeling other people's pain, of holding them when they can't go on anymore, of giving, of teaching, of sharing, of putting yourself out for other people, of praying, of witnessing, of giving, of serving, all of the seeds are going to come to pass. Hallelujah. God's word is true. Well, give God time. Don't forget, Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I pray for you. Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m. Now, remember this about Jesus. God said that Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. His name is called the word of God, and his word is truth. Now, nothing is given you to keep. So you need to go out and share. Each one, reach one. Reach one every day, at least one a week. I love all of you. God bless you. Any of you need my help, feel free to call. I'm here for you, and I love you. And I know that I can say the same thing for Scott Merson. He loves you, too. God bless all of you. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying God bless you, and I love you. Stay in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4444. 321-621-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, you have shown me your love through the judgment you've received, and you've won my.
Don't use the gospel. If you don't live the Christian life, you don't do. No, we don't do to preach the gospel. If you don't live the Christian life, you don't do. We don't do to preach the gospel. If you don't live the Christian life, you don't do to dream about heaven. If you never look up and see the sky, you don't do.
Yours alone. star, King of all days, reign in our hearts and ride on our praise. You are crowned in majesty. Awaken us now, set us ablaze. Let your kingdom come, let your name be raised. Hear the song of the redeemed, be exalted as we sing. Hail to the King, hail to the living Word.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Yeah. fall.